Thank you, Brother Rutledge. Praise the Lord, everyone.
You love the Lord, wave your hand and say, praise the Lord. Praise God. You may be seated. You may be seated for a moment. And I would like to say how happy I am to be here. I have been blessed and repaid many, many times. It would have been worth walking from Little Rock here to have heard Brother Coleman sing one song. Praise God. Brother, you blessed my soul. And so many good things have happened to us in this service tonight. The sad thing is that you and I are able to enjoy some of these things over and over and over and over.
Right.
And there are people in this world that do not know what you and I have.
Right.
I tell you, we need to tell them. And then also, in addition to that, we need to continue to appreciate what we feel. And what we are able to enjoy.
Right.
Sister Miller, I enjoyed your testimony, found out how old you were. And I know it. I thought Brother Miller was several years older. Now we know that for a fact. But, you know, the fact of the matter is the Lord is able to save at an early age and keep you all through your life.
Right.
And after knowing Him 32 years, you can still shout with the joy of the Lord in your heart and in your life. And it does not have to get old. And I am thankful for everything that we have experienced in this service. Good to see the ministers that are here, Brother Shields, Brother McCoskey, Brother Heron, these that we know, Brother Miller, the local ministers here, Sister McCoskey. And to be here with Brother and Sister Rutledge. 13 years. Been a lot of ministers stood in this pulpit over that period of time, but the success of this church has really not been due to the people who come for one night or three nights or five nights or even 2 weeks or 6 week revivals. The success of a church depends on that man that shepherds and feeds and prays for and rebukes a little bit and encourages a little bit, and the shepherd of the flock. And I know you appreciate Brother Rutledge. Praise the Lord. And it's something you feel in this service tonight. And your own spiritual welfare and progress cannot be separated from your respect for and your relationship to the ministry. It just cannot be. Now, God could have willed it some other way. He could have, and there's times I wish He had them. But He didn't. And you and I will live with it in this natural world. We'll live with it in our spiritual existence if we're going to make it into the glory world.
That's the truth.
And I appreciate Brother Rutledge very, very much. I appreciate this church and so many of you that we have known for a long, long time. It does seem kind of strange to realize that Brother Rutledge and I and well, some of the rest of us are kind of old-timers. And doesn't hardly seem right. Not even yet. A couple of men were sitting on the platform, a couple of our ministers, and they didn't realize how it slipped up on them. And they looked out, and one of them said to the other one, said, "Where are all the old preachers?" And this brother said, "Brother, we are the old preacher." Praise the Lord. Well, God bless you. 13 years, and the testimony of the those 13 years is here, sitting in these pews. And Brother Rutledge couldn't help but say it out of just being proud, and I say that in the right sense when the choir sung. He said, "Brother Glass, I guess I baptized every one of those with the exception of maybe the choir leader, Brother Carvick." And I want to say again, there's the success of a church. And there's really where it lies. And you hold the hands of your pastor up. You work with him. And the Lord will bless you. I know they do. Somebody said, "You want to change pastors? Brag on him. He'll have a heart attack and die." And you can get you another one. Or get in and work with him. He'll work himself to death. And you can get you another pastor. Well, nobody here wants that. But Lord bless you, Sister Rutledge and Brother Rutledge. And the good thing about this Rutledge family, they're kind of like the Kennedys. They just keep coming. And we've got daughters and son in the gospel that's going to continue this this glorious, glorious message. Brother Rutledge, thank you for the invitation. We're very happy to be here. I'm sorry that Brother Sizemore is ill, and I trust... one of his elders. I'm sorry about that, and I hope the brother gets all right, and I'm glad to be here. The phone rang yesterday morning. We had a minister preaching for us tonight that's preached for us a number of times, and almost as much sometimes as I do, it seems like, the way he comes through, and I feel like maybe the Lord just will that we could enjoy this service with you all here tonight. I'm going to sing a song, and I'd like for you to listen. There are so many songs that bless us in so many ways, and we have run the gamut of spiritual blessings in this service tonight. And yet, this is a song that has a very rare meaning and message that I would like to impart to this service tonight. The Scripture says there is one reason we can come boldly to the throne of grace. Not because of our own goodness or our own strength or our own power. Because we have an high priest that can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And the reason he can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities is because he was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. The beauty of the incarnation is not that I, Brother Glass, could preach a one God message and we could all enjoy it, and we do enjoy that. The beauty of the incarnation is Jesus Christ knows and understands every need of your life and my life. He knows my heart, and I'm glad he does. When I am weak and when my friends don't understand, he knows my heart, he knows my heart. And when I fail to trust his loving guiding hand, he knows my heart, he knows my heart. I want to walk like Jesus walked, but find it hard to keep the pace. I want to talk just like he talked until I see his face. But if I stumble as I travel through this land, he knows my heart, he knows my heart. If I should falter in my trying, this I know, he knows my heart, he knows my heart. He'll stay beside me, not forsake me where I go. He knows my heart, he knows my heart. He knows I fight a thousand weaknesses and lay awake and cry. But someday on the other side, I'll know the reason why nobody else upon this earth could love me so.
knows I fight 1,000 weaknesses and lay awake and cry. But someday on the other side, I'll know the reason why nobody else upon this earth could love me so. He knows my heart. He knows my heart. Let's praise the Lord tonight. I love you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Would you stand with me for just a moment? And I want us to sing a chorus of praise that is relegated now to children in most of the churches of this church world. Grown men sometimes wouldn't want their cohorts and neighbors and friends to see or hear them sing a little chorus that says, "Oh, how I love Jesus, because He first loved me." But in this chorus, and when I say little chorus, I speak in terms of quantity of this chorus, this short verse, has wrapped up all redemption story. Before I was born, He loved me enough. God so loved the world that He gave. He came and gave Himself. Praise God. And I love Him because He first loved me. Praise God. Just raise your hands and sing it from your heart with me. Oh, how I love Jesus. Praise God. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved. Just once more from your heart. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, I love Jesus. Oh, I love Jesus. Because He first loved me. Let's praise Him. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Thank you for your love. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. You remain standing for the reading of the Word of the Lord. I'm going to read a verse of Scripture from 17th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, verse 26. Then I'm going to read two verses of Scripture from the 6th chapter of Genesis. Luke 17 and 26 says, "And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man." One of the other gospel writers said, "The coming of the Son of Man." All right? Our scripture then from the New Testament is about Noah. And it suggests that in the last days, there will be a parallel with the days of Noah. That being the case, we need to know everything we can about the days of Noah. And so our verse of Scripture has been connected with many parts of the story of Noah. And yet it is possible that for the first time, we will hear
this New Testament scripture connected with the scriptures that are 17 and 18, or 19 and 20, rather, by number of the sixth chapter of Genesis. It is, "And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort, shalt thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, and of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come," would you say come?
"Come
unto thee to keep them alive." If you appreciate the word of the Lord, say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
You may be seated. Thank you. I heard a real fine minister and preacher say one time, and this is, of course, speaking a little bit in a natural sense of a thing that is really spiritual. And he said one of the greatest hurdles, one of the biggest hurdles in preaching is to have something, a message, and a text that is appropriate. And I would imagine that as we would speak of preaching from the outside, it certainly is something to be said of a message if it is appropriate. There are times that a particular message would not be appropriate, and other times it would be, and it would still be the word of the Lord. But I doubt seriously that on any occasion, reading the real weight and import of the Word, of the Scripture that I have read from the New Testament, I doubt seriously, in the light of the days that we are living in, that it would ever be inappropriate to preach about Noah and the Ark. In fact, a person who really understood what Jesus was saying would really not grumble, nor complain, nor be critical if every Wednesday night or every Sunday night, or if it were in revival, every revival night, the evangelist would turn to the story of Noah and read his text. Because it was Jesus that said, in the last days of this earth and this world, there will be a parallel with the days of Noah. Now, I believe we're living in the last days. I believe that you and I are the generation upon which the ends of the world have come. Now, if that be the case, the more that you and I could scrutinize, and the more that we could read into, and the more that we could find out about Noah, Sodom and Gomorrah, for he said the same thing about Sodom and Gomorrah, the better off we would be, because the more we could find out about these days, the better prepared we would be for the coming of the Lord. And we have agreed that he is coming soon. This is not my message, but I would like to say that I'm very glad to be numbered among a people. And it's been said here tonight already that not only have received the Word of God, but are continuing to walk in the Word of God and continuing to follow the Word of God, because there are ministers who stand in pulpits tonight who do not believe, and they preach to people who do not believe the story of Noah and the Ark. Men have taken their tape measures, and they have taken their mathematical drawings, and they have tried to disprove the fact of Noah and the Ark. Well, I hear now that through recent discoveries, and I saw a model drawing in Newsweek magazine some time ago, that some theological scholar had taken the dimensions of the Ark, and he had drawn a very odd, peculiar type of
rectangular vessel of a box-looking thing that turned a very weird way, and he said, had it been built this way, perhaps, you know, it could have been. Well, I'm thankful for the belt of clay that they have found, and if it were to be a portion of the ark that is seen beneath the ice in Turkey on Mount Ararat, I'd be glad for that, and all of these things are fine, but I'm preaching to people who do not need these things to believe the story of Noah and the ark. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. There was a man named Noah, and he built an ark, and the world was spared, praise God, from the judgments of God because of Noah and the ark. Now, more than that, it's going to be that way. Whatever happened in those days, it's going to be that way in the last days. And so, let's look into the story of Noah and the ark. We have many times, and perhaps, as I have said, we may take a little different approach tonight. But if the Lord will help me, I want to talk to you about the guest, if I could call them that, in Noah's ark. Noah and his shipload of strange guests. Now, first of all, the guests that were in Noah's ark began to have a strange worry. Now, in my childish mind, and we all have imaginations that hang on from childhood regarding some of the things of God, and if we're not careful, they just stay with us, and we just still see it and still... I had in my mind's eye a picture of Noah bringing the animals into the ark. Perhaps the shepherd's staff and walking behind the animals. I don't know if I ever saw it actually drawn that way or if it was in my own imagination or what. But Noah rounds up the animals, some of them, and he leads them or he guides them or whatever into the ark. But scripturally speaking, that is not true. Because the word you repeated after me from the Old Testament account says God caused the animals to come into the ark. And so in the days of Noah, there were some animals, some minds that began to be worried, and even the lushness of the pasture that they were in could not hold them. If we could have observed from a grassy knoll somewhere, a particular kind of animal, I believe we would have seen something like this, an animal in his own natural habitat, where he was born, where perhaps his parents were born and parents' parents were born, and satisfied with the habitat, satisfied with the place they were, because all the things they needed or had felt like they needed was there. Water, grass, the balance of nature, those medicinal qualities that some of the herbs and things had and God had made to balance out the systems of these animals, and they were satisfied. And yet as we observed them on a particular day, a restlessness came about their feet. Maybe one or two of them, maybe three or four of them, maybe several of them, whatever, raised their heads and looked way off into the distance. Maybe then they continued to graze, and again the restlessness came, and again the head is raised and the faraway look is in the eye. And to expedite the story and the thing, they begin to do something very strange in that they start in a direction that their instinct and intuition had never taken them before. And suddenly they were not satisfied where they had always been satisfied before. And so, they start on a journey, maybe more than two. We'll talk about that maybe in a moment. Maybe three or four, maybe six or seven. And they start on a journey. What is over the hill? If you could communicate with them, they didn't know. They'd never been there before. What was around the bend? They didn't know. If you could have communicated with them, they didn't understand why they were going. They didn't know the end of the thing. They didn't know really where it would lead. They didn't know what was along the way. They didn't know what kind of terrain they would go through. They didn't know what the weather was over there. They didn't know what there was to eat. And what all they knew were that they were worried and could not be satisfied where they were. Praise God. Now you understand what I'm saying, because there was a time in your life, praise God, there was a time when you were satisfied where you were. If you were a church member, you were satisfied. If you were a drunkard, you were satisfied. If you were just a worldly person, you were satisfied. Wherever you were satisfied. But you heard something one day, and you felt something one day, and you comprehended something one day that set you in a direction, praise God, that you could not be satisfied any longer where you were. And you begin to walk. You didn't know where it would lead. You still don't know everywhere it will lead. But you have found that the one that triggered the worry in your soul, praise God, is not only able to call you, He is able to keep you, and He is able to sustain you, praise God. And He has an ark of safety that will take you, praise God, into comfort and into solace when this world is on fire by the judgment of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right. Now, God, knowing the nature of animals, probably more than two had to start if He wanted two in the ark. God, knowing that there were some that would become lame, there were some whose determination would waver, there were some who would begin to look back, there were some who would want the garlic and the onions. The sad part, and we're not trying to interject a note of sadness in the service tonight, and yet it's something all of us need to be warned about. The sad part about a minister who's been somewhere 13 years, and Brother Shields many, many years in Hot Springs, and now myself many, many years in North Little Rock. God gives you some things to encourage you along, thank God for it, but you can't rejoice too long because somebody has dropped by the wayside. And sometimes it's not so easy to become excited, and I think sometimes it's to a fault, especially in myself. You cannot really feel and cannot really express yourself to those that are faithful enough sometimes because you're worried about those that aren't. And there are times that you take it out on those that are fine and good because there are those that waver. But I'm telling you this, my friend, it's not enough to start on the road. It's not enough to be filled with the Spirit of God. It's not enough to speak in tongues when you're filled with the Holy Ghost. It's not enough only to be baptized in Jesus' name. There's a walk and a journey. There's a long distance that must be carried. Praise God, there is some place that we must go. We've got to feel the cool confines of the ark surround us. We've got to hear the Lord say, well done, praise God. Thank God for 13 years, and surely the Lord will come before 14. But if He doesn't, and it's 25, we've got to be here counting the victory, praising God, worshiping Him, praise God, for all that He's done for us. It's not enough to start. We've got to go all the way. Because the marriage supper of the Lamb will not have an empty seat. Praise God. Praise God. Every seat's going to be filled. I say every seat's going to be filled. Praise God. I'm not so concerned about the fact that if I don't go, there'll be an empty seat. Oh no, somebody will be there. But what I'm concerned about is I've got to be counted among the saved and counted among those that hear the Lord say, well done. Come enter into the rest that I have prepared for you. Praise God. Praise God. The scripture says of every people and tongue and nation from all directions, praise God, this one from here and that one from here. And it all started one day when the natural things of this world could no longer satisfy, and something drew the heart and the feet in the direction of God and His cause and His call and His kingdom and His word. Praise God. All right, not only was there a strange worry that we need to imitate, there was a strange wisdom about these animals. Dumb animals is not a very good statement sometimes. Now, I'm old enough to remember we used to hear it in our youth services around something about the poem the little monkey wrote. You all remember it? You're going to date yourself. It's a cold one if you remember this one. This is old. The little monkey wrote it and said, and it just, I remember it ended, it said, now man might have evolved the ornery cuss, but he didn't evolve from us. Went on to say, you never knew a daddy monkey beating a mama monkey. No. And you never knew one running off with a prettier monkey and leaving all the little monkeys for the first mama to take care of, you know. To say dumb animals sometimes is not. These animals in the ark were very wise. Now, we used to sing, and we used to really rejoice to think about the day, and rightfully so. We used to sing Peace in the Valley. When the lion shall lay down with the lamb in that day that is yet to come. But that's not the first time it has happened. Because the lion lay down with the lamb in the ark. And there was, I guess, a little rabbit. And whatever preyed on the rabbit. Beagle hound. I heard someone tell one time, said they put a big elephant and a little donkey in the same stall. Big elephant somewhere, and they put a little donkey, and said the little donkey looked up at the big elephant and said, now let's don't go stepping on one another around here. But the fact of the matter is, we have in Scripture a menagerie, we have a zoo, we have just whatever. We had natural enemies, we had things that preyed on one another that were wise enough to be satisfied in the ark. More sense than preachers have. I have a book, and some of you might have read it or heard it or whatever. There was an old-time Methodist preacher in California that was called Fighting Bob Schuller. He was so rough and rowdy that even the Methodists didn't want to claim him, but his church was so strong and so big, and they were so influential and powerful that they had to claim him, and the conference tried to move Bob Schuller, and the folks wouldn't let him, and it's many years ago. But he preached a sermon, and like they do, it was preached all around the country. Maybe like all of us do, but he preached all around the country. By request sometimes, this sermon, Some Dogs I Have Known. And actually the sermon was taken from his experiences down through the Methodist ministry with some dogs. And I have the sermon in the book, and it's very interesting. Now, I remember one incident in it in particular. He said he was sitting on the front porch of a Methodist parsonage in some southern town and just observing what was going on. And he said up the dusty street came toward him a big lumbering dog.
said the way he described him, he just kind of lumbered along, you know, great big dog. Somebody said they saw one the other day that walked up to a Volkswagen and looked down in the windshield. And but as he watched the dog as it came down the street and across the street, then came a little feisty dog between a couple of houses, and he spied this big dog. And here come the little dog. Yip, 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 you know, and whatever, the little feisty dog and the big dog coming down the street. And here come a collision course. They were on collision course. And said, Bob Shuler said he just waited. He just knew that the big dog was going to turn around and just snap the little dog's head off and just throw it in the gutter and go on his way. He just knew that in one tangle of growls and teeth and bloody fur, there was going to be a quick battle and it would all be over and the big dog would be on his way. But to his surprise and to his education and to his example, he said the big dog never stopped to even look at the little dog. Just kept going. You know, I guess it's like a car. You know, if you just keep going, finally the little dog gave up and went on his way. The big dog said, without being able to talk, "This thing is too little for my time. This thing is too little for my interest. This thing is beneath my becoming involved in. This thing is not worthy of any time of the day. There's a rabbit to chase on outside of town. There's something to prove my real ability. There's something to really challenge me. And a lot of people, a lot of Pentecostals, a lot of us sometimes are majoring on minors when it comes to our relationship with one another and our attitudes toward one another. I'm not talking about doctrines, and I'm not talking about standards, and I'm not talking about our walk with God. I'm talking about we spend more time on the telephone chewing about things that should not even matter to us. We have an eternal trip that we're on, praise God. There's something on the other side of the mountain. There's something around the bend. There's an ark that's waiting for us, praise God. And we don't have time to stop and fool with the paltry things of this world. Our God has called us out of the world, praise God. He's called us away from the things. And a soldier that is called does not entangle himself with the affairs of this world, but he keeps himself clear and clean and pure, praise God, that he might please the one that has called him and be a faithful soldier. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. All right, the giraffe and the rabbit had no enmity. The lion and the lamb. And I believe here was their wisdom. Listen. The strongest one in the ark had an understanding that outside the ark he couldn't make it.
That's good. That's good.
And the weakest one in the ark understood that if he stayed in the ark, he could make it. All right. Now, the church is our ark in this world. And I would say to the Pine Bluff folks that this church is your ark. All right. Now, the church is not limited to denominational barriers and follow me. It is not limited to the name that's on the sign. Brother Glass, you saying everybody's going to be saved? No. So. But there is a blood-bought people. Repented of their sins, been baptized in Jesus' name, been filled with the Holy Ghost, spoken tongues as the initial evidence of the Holy Ghost, have the fruit of the Spirit in their lives after they receive the Holy Ghost. Separate from this world, living apart from the beggarly things of this world. And there is a church. Okay. But even though there are others besides the Apostolic Church at Pine Bluff that are going to make it, for all practical purposes, to some of you, this is the only church in the world because it's the only one you go to. And it's almost to the fact when you, I spoke to the brother, Brother Rutledge, making the announcements. I said, if people backslide here this week, they're going to really have to work at it because, I mean, there's something every night. And it's almost to the place when you take care of your own, you don't hardly have time. But as far as many people, all of the preaching you'll ever hear will come over this pulpit. Maybe sometime camp meeting, you're able to go. Probably folks here, physical reasons or family reasons, never hear any preaching but what comes over this pulpit from the pastor and evangelist or whatever. So this is your church. This is all the church. As far as your actual life and living, this is the kingdom of God. Because this is where your life is. This is where your spiritual life is. You look at it that way, it would make us appreciate what God has given us, a place to worship God and people to worship God with. Praise God. And I'd like to say this for Hot Springs and North Little Rock, and there's other people here that I don't know. I know Faith and Church. And if you've got somebody to worship God with and somebody to lift your hands with, and you've got somebody to play some music to encourage you, and you've got someone that can praise God with you, and you're not really off to yourself somewhere where there is no one that really whose heart beats with yours, you've got something to be thankful for. And every time you come to the house of God, you ought to rejoice in spirit and rejoice in soul. Praise God that you have a chance to praise and worship God in an atmosphere that is conducive to your own spiritual growth and strength. Praise God, and appreciate what God has given you. I don't start service so many times, and I don't say this in any haughty way, and you know that I'm not, but I don't start services many times when I look at a good number of people, and by that I mean of the faithful ones that you have. And you can look over here and you got someone playing the piano, and you look over here and you got someone to play the organ, and if the drummer's not there, you've missed him, and the bass player's not there, and the fellow that works the amplifier's not there, then you miss him, and if the air conditioner went out, then you miss it. And I just can't help but remember there's somebody somewhere, maybe two or three people, Brother Shields, there's somebody, two or three people, maybe they have a guitar, maybe they don't. If they had one, maybe there's nobody to play it. Maybe there's nobody to preach. If there's somebody to preach, maybe there's nobody to sing. And maybe the preacher's had to work 12 hours that day just to keep body and soul together. And they're out there. They're out there. And I say, God bless them. God bless them. But I tell you what, you better be thankful for what God has blessed you with. Don't you take it for granted. Don't sit around and pick it to pieces. Just rejoice and praise God for what He's done for you and the art that He's given you and the true refines of the art, praise God, have enveloped you. You can be saved. It's so easy for you to be saved that hell's going to be hot for all of us that are not saved when all God has blessed us with. Now, I'm a pastor. I'm not an evangelist, so you can just let me be a pastor. And I want you to know those animals didn't go around knocking Noah all the time either. Tell you what, I do feel like that. I try to help some people's children sometimes. But I could have helped a lot more if Mom and Daddy hadn't have chewed the pastor for breakfast, dinner, and supper a lot of times. Praise God. All right, I'm preaching. And I already know what we're going to have after supper. So I mean, after church. So it's all set. But I'm saying we've got a lot to be thankful for. If you were in driving distance of coming to this service tonight and hear Brother Coleman sing and lift your spirit, you've got something to be thankful for. Praise God. Let's praise the Lord for what He's blessed us with. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Young people, I know sometimes Oh, I don't know. I don't know exactly what you think. Maybe sometimes about the preacher, about the pastor, and about the church and its efforts. And maybe sometimes we're clumsy. Maybe sometimes we don't know really how to handle it. But I want to tell you what. The things out at school, the things of this world, and whatever's out there is just going to last for a little while. And if you're not in the ark when the rain starts to fall, if you're not in the ark when the doors close, if you're not in the ark when God closes the door, if you're not inside and an understanding and an appreciation of what's going on, when the rain starts to fall, the last strong swimmer goes down, and the only thing that's left is the ark, then it's too late. It's too late. Maybe this is the last year. Maybe this is the last anniversary service. Maybe this is the last we'll all be involved in. I was at a funeral yesterday, Brother Rutledge. I don't know if you knew Brother T.C. Smith died or not. I preached a funeral yesterday, and of all the funerals that I've ever been a part of, I have never been to a funeral like this one. This man had heart trouble for many years, 65 years old, been out of coronary, yet he wanted to preach. And he was preaching at Scott's church. He'd retired because of health from the church that he pastored, and he was preaching at one of our churches, and he was preaching from Touching Jesus for Yourself. What Brother Stewart was talking, you know, kind of along the lines of what Brother Stewart was talking about. Brother Stewart didn't know what he was preaching, but about the same thing. Touching Jesus for Yourself. He knelt down over here and demonstrated how the little woman reached for the hem of his garment. Then he got up and he came over here and he knelt down. The people thought he was going to demonstrate again, and he fell over with an open Bible, and God took him on to be with him. You know what we sung at his funeral? We clapped our hands and sung, "I'll fly away, I'll fly away." Praise God. Some glad morning when this life is o'er. Just a few more weary days. Praise God. I'll fly away, I'll fly away. And one of these times in church, it might actually happen. We'll start singing here and we'll end up in the glory world. We could start preaching here and we'll end up there. Our song. Oh, we need to appreciate the church. Wrap ourselves up in the church. Love the church. It's our ark, praise God. It's the thing that's going to take us out of this world. One thing that the gates of hell shall not prevail against. One thing the promise is. Only one thing, Jesus said. There is one thing that hell cannot attack. And it's the church. And it's the church that's built upon the apostles and the prophets. That Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. It's the church of the living God. The New Testament church. That we have inherited and are enjoying tonight. Praise God. We need to appreciate and love God for letting us to be a part of it. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. And then finally, strange worry got them started, and the strange wisdom kept them in the ark. Then there was a strange waiting. Brother Bob Gilstrap preached for us many, many years ago, and I'll never forget his message. Maybe you'd heard him preach it. I don't know, but it's just always stayed with me, and it was 7 dry days. 7 dry days. And he proved for that moment to my satisfaction, I don't know if I could go through it all again as he did, but that the apostles, the disciples, were really in the upper room or in the temple 7 days. We always say 7 to 10, but he traced it in Bob Gilstrap's own way and that mind that he had. And he made me really believe that 7 days they waited and the Holy Ghost came. But the Bible does say that for 7 days, the ark rested on the earth. And then those animals that had come into the ark began to feel something in the air that they had never felt before. You and I know what the feeling of rain is. We can go outside and we say, it feels like it's going to rain. There is that static electricity feeling of the thunderstorm that is impending. And we know about it. We can almost say, I feel rain. But it had never rained. It never rained. In the night, the heavy dew had come and caused the plants and vegetation to grow. And yet, some clouds formed. And the fountains of the deep began to rumble sound of thunder from beneath. And then, for the first time, a big, heavy drop of water fell from a cloud and splattered into the dust. And that had been prophesied maybe over 100 years before, that had been in the mind of God for a long time, began to happen. Jesus Christ was in the mind of God. He was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And it took only just a few moments for what God had in His mind to become a reality. God knows when this world is going to end and when time is going to be no more, when the signal goes to the angel or whatever. We don't know. But I want you to know this. I want you to know it could be no more time than it took for a mother to bring forth a firstborn, or for a heavy drop of water to fall from the lowest cloud and spatter in the dust. Something tells every one of us that Jesus Christ is soon to come. Somebody said Billy Graham believed it, and somebody said the generals of this world believe it. They don't all understand what it's all about, but you know they know something's going to happen. Well, you know, that's well and good, but you and I, in the spirit of this service tonight, we know that Jesus is coming soon.
Hallelujah. That's
He's
right.
Coming soon.
Right.
And we must wait for His coming. And by waiting, I'm not talking about folding our hands and laying back asleep. But they that wait upon the Lord, those who occupy till He comes,
yes.
Those are faithful, praise
yes.
God. Those who are faithful to the end are going to be saved. Praise God. Oh, listen. I just feel now that the old ark that we're in is just straining to rise. It's really straining to rise. And who knows that from this service, before the next service, Jesus Christ could come. As it was in the days of Noah. As it was in the days of Noah. So shall it be in the days of the Son of Man.
Praise God.
Would you bow your heads with me for just a moment? How much more is it true today than it was even when the apostle said it? His coming is nearer than when we first believed. How many years have we heard it? Sister Miller, how many years have we heard it? Brother Rutledge, how many years have we heard it? If it's been 20 years, if it's been 30 years, then His coming is 30 years sooner, nearer, than when we first believed. I don't believe the door of the ark is almost shut and people have to squeeze by. I believe as long as it's open, it's open. But I believe when it's closed, it's closed. Don't you know that when those that were in the ark looked out that one window and saw the last strong swimmer as he went down for the third time, how happy they were. They responded to that strange worry that they had felt a long time ago and had had enough understanding of God and His way to stay in this place of safety until Jesus had come, until the ark began to float. God grant us that same wisdom and understanding to be ready when Jesus comes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shall we stand together?
And wait upon Him.
Thank God.
Hallelujah. Oh, may your love.